Okay. I've found myself, and we as a church have found ourselves, over the last few months, particularly through the autumn period, really being challenged by God about our levels of faith and expectation in Him for what He wants to do. And so we have begun a series out of what God's been prophetically speaking to us recently down at Teesside, but we started last week. And the title of the series is Finding Faith in a Limitless God. And it's really a series that takes us through to Easter from the book of Hebrews, looking at characters in that book who, in a sense, encounter the limitless God, worked with Him, and saw just amazing things happen. So I want to share with you the introductory talk that I gave last week in Teesside, because I think it would be in God's heart to encourage you in your levels of faith and expectation, and maybe to throw off some of the limits that can so easily come on all of our thinking. So I'm going to read a few verses from Hebrews to start with, 1 to 3, and then verse 6, which says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." Down to verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." This whole sense of God wanting us to raise our levels of faith and expectation comes a little bit off the back of a message that I've been preaching recently, that I preached here a few months ago, I think when I came midweek, which was about living as pioneers, where I spoke from the book of Joshua to you, and have done to a number of churches. But when I preached that message, I basically showed us that every Christian really has a choice to make. Should come up on the slide here. Every Christian faces a choice, two choices. One, the choice to be live as a settler, and secondly, the choice to live as a pioneer. Basically, if we live as settlers, we're basically saying we're going to settle with what is. We're going to settle with what is in our lives. We're going to settle with what is in our church. We're going to settle with what is around us. That's what it means to live as a settler. But to live as a pioneer means you're believing for more. You're wanting more, and you're believing for more than you currently have. I want to suggest to you, the next slide, that disciples and followers of Christ always live as pioneers. In other words, they're always looking. Those that are following Christ are doing just that. They're following Christ. Christ is always on the move. And therefore, to follow Christ means to be on the move. Interesting, just you're sending two sets of folk out today. They're on the move. Well, Jesus is always on the move. Jesus is always at work. And if we're disciples, we will be following Him and on the move ourselves. We will be looking not just to pitch our tent and camp where we are, but to take new ground. And that means we will always be looking to see more of God in our own lives personally, to be more holy, to be more Christ-like, to be more serving of Christ, to be more effective in our love for Christ, to be more, in a sense, Christ-like in our marriages, and to see our children following Christ, and to see the church more full of Christ and doing the works of Christ and reaching out with the love of Christ. There will be this sense of not just settling and saying, okay, this is all there is. There'll be a sense of wanting to take more. Does that make sense? Well, it made sense to me when I wrote it. although we're called to be pioneers, there is a real temptation that every Christian faces constantly, all the time, and it is the temptation to settle. And I want to suggest to you that there are some root issues to why we are tempted to settle. And I want to describe those root issues to you in the form of three C's. So, the first C is the issue of cost, should be the issue on the screen, of cost in the face of comfort. Over the sort of July and August time, I went through an interesting sort of time in my walk with God. I went through a time in which I found myself really grateful for all the good things that God had done in my life, in my family, in the church, wider as well. I felt very, very grateful for all the good things that God had done. But I also found myself at the same time feeling some angst and some dissatisfaction that I had not fully seen all the great things God had promised me and promised us. When we moved from Manchester in 2003 to Teesside, the call of God on us from Luke 2 was actually God was calling up us up here to see revival in Teesside and revival in the Northeast. Not through us, but that's what he wanted to do. We came up here on the back of a promise from God that we would see hundreds and thousands of people saved. God spoke to us in 2005 from Isaiah 54. Think big, think very big. The barren woman, in a sense, who's barren, but because God is her husband, sees amazing things happen and multitudes of people touched by the grace of God and drawn into her. We've always had a vision that we feel from God at Teesside that there wouldn't just be tens of people or 20 people saved, but there'd be hundreds and thousands of people saved. We've had a word about being a lifeboat station, rescuing people, not a cozy clubhouse. We've had words about being a train station, training all sorts of people from all sorts of walks of life, training them with qualifications, but training them in the kingdom as well. We've had words about being a center of worship for the region, the nation, and the nations, and a preaching center for the region, and the nations. Some of you might remember a word from Deuteronomy 11 that I preached a couple of years ago into our Taking Ground churches, which was a word where God said, you know, the land you've been in is like, not like the land of Egypt where you irrigated it by foot. Some of you might remember I brought that word, but I'm bringing you into a new land, an upgraded land, a land of mountains and rivers that drinks the rain from heaven. So I had this experience over the summer where I'm saying, Lord, I'm so appreciative that you've done this, you've done this, you've done this, but it's not the fullness of what you've put in our hearts. It's not the fullness of what you've prophetically and scripturally spoken to us. And yet alongside that sort of celebration of the good, but sort of holy dissatisfaction, we weren't seeing the fullness, there was also another factor at work in my thinking, and it was the cost in the face of comfort thinking. Actually, just go back a slide. It was cost in the face of comfort thinking, because I knew that alongside this sense of we hadn't seen the fullness of all that God wanted to do in us and through us, there was also a sense for me, I'm 57 years of age, do I really want to keep pushing for more? Do I really want to keep stretching? Do I really want to keep, in a sense, stretching and driving and pushing out for more? Isn't it about time I just took life a little bit easy? I've got plenty to do. I'm never going to not be busy. I'm leading a significant sized church. I'm leading a Taking Ground network now. I'm leading Salt and Light UK. Maybe I just need to calm down a bit and take it a bit easy. Wouldn't that be nice? Was the temptation that was riding in alongside this sense, but we've not seen the fullness. But if I want to see that, I'm going to have to lift my faith and expectation again. I'm going to have to align people. I'm going to have to take more initiative. We're going to have to keep pushing out. Do I really want to do that? One of the key C's in the temptation to settle is the cost in the face of comfort. C. What are your cost versus comfort challenges at this time? Those that are going to be pioneers, those that are going to stretch and believe God and be like the biblical characters in Hebrews chapter 11 are always on the move. They're never settling and pitching their tents. So cost in the face of comfort is the first C that can be at the root of a temptation to settle. The second one is what I've called the curse of limited thinking or the curse of small-mindedness. Earlier on in the year, God brought a prophetic word to us that basically said to us as a leadership team, you're under a yoke, you're under a curse of limited thinking. You think to yourself, oh, I think that's a bit harsh. I don't know that we're really under a curse. That's a bit severe. It was actually Steve Thomas that brought this word to us as a leadership team. He said, you're under the curse, the yoke of limited thinking. And then he shared with us two scriptures. Here's the first of them. Genesis 27, 39 to 40. The background of this is that Esau has chosen a bowl of red stew to satisfy his earthly hunger over holding on to the promises of God and the birthright and inheritance. And then he comes to the time of Isaac's blessing, and this is what Isaac speaks over him. His father Isaac answered him, that is answered Esau, your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. Sometimes yokes and curses and limitations only get thrown off when we get restless, when we get, if you like, dissatisfied, when we say, you know what, we're not having any more of this, enough is enough. So, for example, we'll go on to our next scripture here. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 to 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez. Remember what Joe was saying about names and the power of names, how it describes the character and the nature. So his mother named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. And Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. Now, what's happening here is Jabez refused to let his name, his experience, his past, the perception of his life by others, which was all about pain, he refused to let that define his future. Basically, he's saying, you know, I'm not settling for this in my life and over my life. I'm wanting to believe for more. There's a sense of restlessness. No, this isn't going to sit on my shoulders. It's not going to limit my life. There was a holy dissatisfaction. God's got more for me than this. He's believing for more. There's a restlessness there. And then that great little sentence at the end, and God granted his request. These curses, these limitations in thinking, they affect all of our lives. Did you know that? You will have those curses of limited thinking in your life. They will be in the leadership team here. They will be in the church. They do. They can shape all sorts of things. When I was younger, I was born left-handed, and back in the early 60s, my dad was a very practical person. He was just could do anything with metal and wood and all that sort of thing. And as I grew up, you know, he tried to teach me some of these practical skills, but he kept shoving things in my right hand rather than my left hand, and all the tools were right-handed. And I remember very vividly that every time I ever tried to do something practical, he would say, "You're cack-handed. You're cack-handed. You're not practical. Give it here. Let me do it." You know something? I grew up believing that I was not practical with my hands, you know, until the point in time where I was working as a doctor on coronary care unit and had to put pacemakers in people and do all sorts of practical procedures. And then I bought my house that was an old house, and I didn't have the money to pay people to come in and do the work, so I had to do the work myself. And do you know what I discovered? I discovered that actually what my father said over my life, which actually I believed and shaped me for many years, was not true. Actually, I was pretty practical with my hands. I was down at a conference recently, and I was sat with a small group of leaders, and there were a couple of church leaders from down south, and they were talking about themselves, and four times in the conversation they said this. They said, "Oh, but we're not really very good with people. Oh, we're not very good with people." Four times they said that. Holy Spirit said something to me. He said, actually, they've put themselves under, they're under a curse here of limited thinking. I pulled them to one side afterwards. And I said, "The Lord wants to say something to you. Stop saying you're not very good with people." I said, "Who has said that to you in the past? You've hit some problems with people and people have said that over you." I said to them, "Look, you know, I bet you are good with people in many situations. You might not be perfect, but when you keep saying you're not very good with people, do you know something? You are limiting God working in you. What if he wants to make you very good with handling people? You know, you have got a curse of limited thinking." And I took them, I said, "We're going to break that right now. And you're not to say that anymore, because words are creative." Right? Sometimes there have been areas in my life where I've personally battled, maybe for many years, and it's all been a bit up and down. How often one gets tempted to say, "Well, you know, this is just my portion. This is just who I am. This is just where we're going to have to live." These yokes become curses. They become limitations in our thinking, and they affect how we see ourselves, and they affect what we believe is possible, what we believe for in God. And those curses, those limitations in our thinking, they can come from past experiences. They can come from disappointments or failures or mistakes, or they can come from what we've spoken over ourselves or what others have spoken over us. Here's one I'm working through currently with God in terms of trying to break this yoke so my expectation in him can be raised. I am battling with this one at the moment. I am battling with something inside me that thinks I'm a good leader, but not a great leader. And that good, average things will occur from me, but not great things. See, that, you know, that's real. That's powerful. It's at work in my life. When Steve Thomas said, "You're under a curse of limited thinking," it was a thing that came straight into my mind about myself. See, it's really wrong. What I'm really saying is it depends on me. What I'm really saying is God isn't big enough to work through my averageness. And the key effect that has and has been having in our church is it affects the limits of my faith and expectation for what God can do in the church as long as I'm leading it. It's a curse of limited thinking. I've got to grow dissatisfied and restless enough with that to say I'm not living with that as a limit, because that is limiting God. What yoke and curses are you living under? What yoke and curses as a leadership team are you living under about Hexham Community Church? What yokes and curses are you living under corporately. People don't really get saved in their 10s and their 20s or their 100s in Hexham. I don't know. Young people don't come to Hexham. What's the limit? What are the curses? What are the things, in a sense, that are affecting faith and expectation and limiting, giving you a limited view of God? These yokes need throwing off, and they can be. I'll say a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But we need to get restless about these things and see and understand they're wrong. Right, the third and final C is a constrained view of God. Let me read a few scriptures to you. Jeremiah 32, 26 to 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything, underline anything, is anything too hard for me? Psalm 94, verse 9. Does he who fashioned the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Next scripture. Isaiah 59, 1. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor is his ear too dull to hear. Mark 10, verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things, underline all things, are possible with God. There's a challenge for us of cost and comfort. There's a challenge for us of our own limited thinking about God in us and through us. But the other challenge that we have is a constrained view of God, a view of God himself that actually is often limited and in an inadequate view. So many of us at times are living with a view of God whose arm length is limited. So we have limited expectation. We're living with a view of God where God is limited in what he sees and what he hears, and so we have a limited prayer life. Or we're living with a view of God that's in which God is somehow limited to working within the realms of possibility only. And so we have limited faith. Or we're living with a view of God where some things really are just too hard for him, so we give up on believing for those hard things. That constrained view is not a correct view. It's not a biblical view. It's not a view that will take us forward. It's a constrained view of God. It's basically saying God is either limited in power or he's limited in love. Every inadequate view of God will come back to a limitation in those two things, his power or his love. That view has to change. That view has to change in God's people, just like it had to change in characters within Hebrews 11, if we're to see the great impossible things that God wants to do to glorify his name happen. So, those three C's are a constant challenge for every one of you, for me personally. They're a constant challenge for every leadership team, and they're a constant challenge for every church. So what are some of the key understandings on our journey from Hebrews 11 that will help us deal with those three C's and move forward? I'm just going to give you four fairly quick things that will help you in seeing these three C's broken. If you want to see it all fully unpacked, you'll have to follow our Hebrews series online. But make sure you listen to the teaching you're missing here on Sunday first. Okay, so here's some things that we need to understand. The essence of our journey is a by faith journey. Hebrews 11, 1 says this. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So if you're having to believe in your Christian walk for unseen things, for things you can't see and touch and don't have, if you are having to believe for impossible things to be made possible, then you are in the right realm. You are in the realm of faith. If you want a walk in which you really only have to deal with things that you see and things that you have and things that are possible, you need to go and join another group of people. Because the the realm in which the Christian disciple follows Christ is entirely in the realm of faith, believing for unseen, impossible things. That is what the walk is about. So, you know, when we say, oh, well, we're always having to believe for things we don't have and things that we don't see, yes, that's it. You've got it. And it's going to be like that till the day you die. Until then, we'll fully receive and see all that God has stored up for us in Christ. So many Christians struggle with the cost and the comfort, have a constrained view of God, or stay under some sort of limited thinking, because somehow they think they can live in a different realm to the realm that every Christian character in the Bible had to live into. You can't. If you want to live your life a different way, you need to go and follow a different God, I think. But don't, because there's only one true God. Right, number two. The essence of our journey is by faith, but the basis of our journey is God has spoken. Hebrews 11, verse 3 says this: by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Do you know that seen things come forth from the unseen for one reason and one reason only? Because God speaks. So people will have all their theories about the universe and how the universe came into being, but they still have one big missing gap, is how did something come out of nothing? Well, actually, the Bible tells us the only way that unseen, that seen things come out of unseen, the only way that something comes forth out of nothing is when God speaks. The universe was formed at God's command because he spoke. When I preached to you about living as pioneers, one of the first principles of living as pioneers that I unpacked for you was knowing what God has promised. And I took you to Joshua chapter 1 and said right at the beginning of Joshua taking this land, he was very clear. God promised him that you will have the land that runs up here, runs down by the river, down by the sea, as far west as this and that. I can't quite remember it, but you know what? God was very clear on the boundaries of the land that he was promising him. And therefore, Joshua went forth with this incredible confidence that though they were opposed by nations that were bigger and stronger than them, that they would be given a land that they did not have, that they would be given a land that there was no way they could naturally see possible they would be able to take. But Joshua walked by faith, and people of faith know that the seen comes forth from the unseen because God has spoken. And so when God's people hear God speak through the scriptures and otherwise, then they can have confidence that something's going to come into being that was not in existence. And so Abraham has Isaac because God's spoken, even though they're old and barren. Moses parts the Red Sea because God's promised him he's going to escape Pharaoh and Egypt. And Joshua takes the land because God has spoken. And, you know, we had 6 years of barrenness before we had our son Joshua. And many of you will know that God spoke that 6 months later Linda would be pregnant. And after 6 years of waiting, God spoke 6 months later Linda will be pregnant. 6 months later she was, and now we have our son Joshua. Something came forth out of nothing because God spoke. God has spoken to every single one of you individually. If you're reading the Bible every day, as you should be, God will be speaking to you every day and showing you things. He's spoken to you individually. You have prophetic words over your life. You understand the scriptures. He's spoken over you corporately. You should have confidence, if God has spoken, that believing for the seen to come forth from the unseen is not stupidity. It's absolutely, totally, 100% godly faith, common sense. Amen? Amen. What else have I got to say? A couple of things as we come into land here. What's the next thing? Okay, the ungodly limits on our journey can be thrown off. You know that limited thinking I was talking to you about? It's a great example, that example of Jabez. It's a fantastic example. Let that example, you know, encourage you. But we do see it with characters in Hebrews who had to have their, had to throw off this limited thinking. You know, one of the characters in Hebrews is Gideon, you know, who was hiding in the wine press and who said, and God came to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. But I'm the least. Well, I'm the smallest clan. I'm the least in my clan." See, curse of limited thinking, but he had to throw that off. And God used him actually to rout a nation and to save a nation. Moses had his limitations in thinking. God said to him, "You're going to lead my people out of captivity and out of Egypt. But Lord, I'm not eloquent enough. Can't be me. How can I go and speak to Pharaoh?" Abraham and Sarah, "You're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. But we're old and we're barren." And in fact, Sarah thought it was so ridiculous and so limited in her thinking, was she? So she laughed. "Come on, it's not going to happen." The point that I'm trying to make to you is this battle of limited thinking is a battle that every biblical character went through, but had to break through in order to walk with God the way he wanted to walk with them. Ray Mills is one of our pastors in Teesside, and he always had limited thinking about who he was. You know, he didn't rate himself very highly. Now, none of us are meant to rate ourselves highly, but what we're talking about is how we view ourselves in and with God, what God can do in and through us. It's not actually about us, it's about him. So he was always limited in what he believed God could do in him, through him, and it was, some of that was to do with how he was at school and all sorts of other things. And then one day he just encountered God, and he said it was like God put his hands on his shoulders and said to Ray, you're going to be a spiritual father of significant stature because I'm a father of significant stature. He absolutely changed overnight. And over the last years, I've just watched that word be completely fulfilled in and through his life. He's surpassed everybody's expectations in terms of what God has done in him and through him. But he had to have an encounter with God that broke that limitation in his thinking. I'm in this process at the moment, you know, God can do good things through my leadership, but not great things. I know that I must not settle with that, that the Holy Spirit is telling me that that is an ungodly limit that can, should, and can be broken. So I hope to be coming and preaching to you at least by Easter time, the other side. And, you know, I don't think like that anymore, because actually I've thrown off that yoke just like Jabez did. So the ungodly limits on our journey can be thrown off. The ungodly limits on your journey can be thrown off. But they won't be thrown off if you just accept them. They won't, because that's to settle with them. You need to be restless. You need to see in God. This doesn't need to be a limitation. And then finally, the author of our journey is actually limitless. Whether we believe that, whether we see that, whether we experience it, it's just a fact. He is limitless in his power and in his love. The Hebrews 11 is full of characters who encountered a limitless God. A God whose arm was never too short. A God for whom nothing was ever too hard. A God for whom the impossible was always possible. And so Abraham, we're sat here as descendants of Abraham. Millions and millions and millions well, probably 1.5 billion, whatever it is, people on planet Earth that are descendants of Abraham, fulfillment, because when Abraham was spoken to and promised, you know, he threw the limits off in terms of his old age and their barrenness, and he said, well, God's limitless, he can do what he wants. So they had Isaac, and centuries later, that promise is fulfilled. We're part of that promise being fulfilled, not because of Abraham primarily, but because the God who promised him is just so limitless in his power and ability to deliver on his word. Moses saved and brought forth the nation out of slavery because he was working with a limitless God. Joshua possessed the land, dealt with enemies larger and stronger because he was walking with a limitless God. And Joseph went from prison to the right hand of Pharaoh and made miraculous provision for the family of God and the nation of God in a time of famine. Because Joseph too, even in the midst of prison, where God seemed so limited in his circumstances, continued to put his faith in a God for whom there was no limits. Even this last week, and actually a couple of weeks before, just seen some great things, you know, that God... We had someone that was in hospital for 6 days, and with a temperature, could not be explained. They were very concerned about this person, and eventually, actually on Christmas Day, I went in, anointed them with oil. They were having their temperature done every few hours. Anointed them with oil on Christmas Day. The moment we anointed them with oil, the temperature was never up again, and they were discharged a few days later. You know, and you think, you know, I was talking with Mike Beaumont. Some of you will know Mike Beaumont. And he was saying to me the other day, he was saying, oh, our newly born granddaughter has got these problems with her hips, and they're probably going to have to do some operation, and that he said, but we're not worried about it. He said we had exactly the same with our grandson, and he said, you know, they were heading towards putting her in some plaster cast, and the grandson into some plaster cast. And he said, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me to get together with the other granddad and to anoint the grandson with oil. And then 2 weeks later, they went to have the cast on, and the hips were tested, and the x-ray was redone, and there was no problem, and nothing needed to happen. So he said, so he said to me, so we're going to pray again, because our God is limitless in power and ability to change situations. Just this week, I was sat with someone who, you know, a number of years ago, there was some significant difficulties relationally with, you know, and how when a relationship breaks down and goes past a certain point, and you absolutely think there's no way, even if the Archangel Gabriel turned up and had a conversation with us, it just would never be back to where it was. I mean, you may have those relationships. I'm sat with this person several years later, and the relationship is not only back to where it was, it's better than it ever was because of what we walked through. And I just sat opposite them, and I just said in the middle of this meal together, I said, don't you find yourself in awe of God and what he's done in our relationship? I said, only God could have done this, couldn't he? And he said, absolutely. This is God all the way. Limitless in power and limitless in love. So, I want to encourage you this morning not to drop your expectation. Not to understand the three C's that can be at work in your life to tempt you to settle. To tempt you to lower your expectations. I want to encourage you that those three C's can be broken and can be dealt with. The cost is worth it. the cross of Jesus Christ and what he went through and what came through the resurrection is absolute, always will stand as a testimony in time and history and everything too, that the cost is worth paying. You can break off those curses of limited thinking. You can open up your view and not live. You can have a biblical view, not a constrained view of God. If you will understand that the journey you journey is by faith, you've got to believe for unseen, impossible things. That's the nature of it. There's nothing going wrong. If you're having to do that, everything's going right. You know, the basis of your journey is God has spoken. He's set you off on your journey. He's with you on the journey. He's continuing to promise you things through scripture and through the prophetic. The ungodly limits on your journey can be thrown off. And at the end of it all, remember that this God that we walk with, even if we get limited in our thinking, is limitless in every way, shape, and form. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, God bless you.